I personally believe, even if it takes a change in the law, the president should honor the commitment the federal government made to those people and let them keep what they got.
That's the voice of the former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, who apparently didn't get the memo that you're supposed to back up your teammates. Yeah, he definitely went off message, and that's where we begin this edition of America Tonight. Hey, everybody, how you doing in those nooks and crannies? Brr, it's starting to get a little cold in some places, especially the Midwest and in the Northeast. So former President Bill Clinton can't blame the weather for the fact that he just decided he was going to slam the press because he did that. He said that President Obama needs to make good on his pledge that people would be able to keep their current health care, you heard him there, if they wanted to, after getting all these cancellation notices from their insurance carriers. Said it in an interview, seemingly innocent, I suppose, but some would say maybe that was planted. Maybe he said it on purpose. So he strongly, of course, supported affordable health care from the beginning, Obamacare, and has been right in the front and center of all of this, if you remember, even the Democratic convention. And here's the thing. It comes back to the same deal, copays, deductibles, premiums. And if the health care was so great, then why aren't the members of Congress on the same one? So the president backs up the people as far as the individual marketplace is concerned. Then later Tuesday, White House spokesperson Jay Carney said Obama agrees with Clinton and that they're trying to make an effort to keep the pledge. What? So first it's, okay, here's the rollout. It starts October 1st. Whoops. Problems with healthcare.gov. Oh, we're going to fix those. But you have to sign up for it, and we're going to give you some extra months. It was supposed to be January, but we're going to wait till March because some people are having a hard time signing up because we messed up the timeline. And it's going to be all fixed after we spend millions more by the end of November. The little quirks and bugs and everything, we're going to work it all out and put it into things that people need to know, like, oh, what are the various health plans and what are they offering? So now the White House is saying, after the Clinton debacle, that the president has asked his team, this was the quote, the president has asked his team with looking at a range of options to make sure that nobody is put in a position where their plans have been canceled and they can't afford a better plan. The president addressed this issue in his interview last week. No, he didn't. He didn't. He stepped around it. Now, how are they going to honor that? Because it will not meet the regulations, the requirements of Obamacare. The people who have health care coverage and didn't want it canceled, how are they going to roll it back? How are they going to roll back that promise? How are they going to do that? It won't meet the minimum standards of what they've put out, what they've set out in the health care law. And it's not a small amount of people. Don't tell the millions who are affected by it that they're part of the small minority. It's people that were shopping for, had individual plans, individual insurance. They weren't part of an employee plan. And they were definitely the middle class. So the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, wasted no time. He threw out a statement applauding Clinton's call for new legislation, saying that Clinton's comments signify a recognition that Americans were misled when they were promised they could keep their coverage under the president's health care law. There's a couple of different trains of thought here with what Clinton, President Clinton, had to say. One, it was on purpose and to protect his wife, Hillary Clinton, who will probably run in 2016. Two, it was just kind of a jab at Obama because the Clintons were the first, especially Hillary Clinton, was the first person to try to jump on the health care train, which it was shot down almost immediately the further she got. So this was is a way to insulate and to also push her away from the controversy over the health care plan that's known as Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act that became a law. And then the third deal is, this is the conspiracy theory is, okay, this is the way more problems with a bill that became a law that was gunked up from the beginning, shoved down people's throats. So now you have this law, you got to pull it apart, and it eventually winds itself into a single-payer system, which is really what they wanted from the beginning, meaning they, meaning the Democrats, have wanted that all along, not the Republicans, not at least in the last 5-6 years, and when this came up in 2010, that was one of the things that was taken out of it to get it to pass, that it wouldn't be a single-payer system. Now, if everything explodes and they continue to have problems, then it gets closer and closer to a single-payer system. So making those comments and more Democrats jumping off the ship because they want to be reelected and saying they don't support not giving people the health care plan that they originally had so they don't lose their health care plan could be a stroke of brilliance in a different way. All I know is that of all the issues, of everything that we have talked about, and we probably have gone the deepest on healthcare than anything. For the entire time I've done this show, we've done that. But especially in 2010, when that was it, when boom, all of a sudden, 2009, we're talking about healthcare. Next thing you know, people are irate. They're at town hall meetings. They don't understand. Explain it to me. What does that mean? So from those town hall meetings to what we have now, that was part of the problem. There was no explanation. It was jammed through, and it looks more and more like, well, of course, then you're going to end up with a single-payer system because how can you possibly sustain it when you don't have healthy people and the exchanges signing up? Not enough. And the enrollment is low. Believe it or not, we're going to talk about more than Obamacare in this hour of America tonight. We have a couple of other things that we're going to talk about, too, including a conversation with Ivan Eland about the 50th anniversary of the death of the assassination of John F. Kennedy and his presidency, his legacy, and what are the things about his legacy that people don't really talk about or maybe don't even really know. And Eland is pretty pointed in his thoughts in saying that he doesn't think he was a good president at all, and that he was the coldest of Cold War warriors, and the race to the moon, the race to space, had nothing to do with wanting to push the space program, but everything about beating the Soviets. And what about everything in between, like the Cuban Missile Crisis? That's coming up in our third segment. Stay with us next. If you want to chime in on Obamacare and Bill Clinton, you can, 855-266-5283, plus the mailbag. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware, and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Surprised me, and maybe it's not a surprise anymore. You fill up the mailbag. So on that note, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Lou, listening to us in Florida. Kate Delaney, I've been listening to the show now. I'm a new convert, probably for about 2 months since we got the show here on WFLN. Bravo, young lady. I like that. And Lou says, I happen to be watching Fox. I saw this stuff with Bill Clinton, who says the people who want their health care to stay should have it the way it is. It's a mad, mad world, isn't it? Yeah, even he gets it. Watching Fox, hearing what Clinton had to say, then the White House, which we just explained, talking about the fact that, oh, yeah, yeah, we've got a team on it. We're looking into this. They have a team on everything. See, here's what I think this is the biggest breakdown, the biggest problem for them. They don't think things through. It's kind of like spitballing, going into a meeting and just throwing it against the wall and seeing what sticks. Hey, we want health care. That's going to be my legacy. I think we should have affordable health care. Too many people don't have it. It's a drag on the system anyway. Cool. All right, so here's thousands of pages. Let's push this through, try to get it through. And then we'll figure it all out because, geez, we really want a single payer anyway. People will complain. The system will break down. People will go broke. And we'll just come back and sweep up the pieces afterwards. But they keep getting called on it along the way. And now there is distrust. The credibility issue, man, the credibility issue, I think, with the Obama administration is huge right now. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. You have to feel that. If you're just looking at it from the perspective of what a blunder, what a blunder, what a blunder. Really, since, I mean, before that, but let's say the series of mistakes that started right before the beginning of last summer just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And this one is the biggest. Because if you're going to have a rollout, for goodness sake, of what's your legacy, of what's your signature piece, it has to be as smooth as possible. So not only do you have all these web glitches and you have to change the date, then you have people that are playing on your team, like a man with massive power like Bill Clinton, because people embrace Clinton. And notice how he's always trotted out at every single convention. Anybody running like Terry McAuliffe in a tight race for governor of Virginia, they pull in the weapons, the Clintons, especially Bill Clinton. So then he makes the statement. Of course, it shows you the blunder of this administration. And also saying it in the first place, in trying to get votes and win over people. Yes, you like your health care? Hey, 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 we're not going to force it on you. You like your health care? You keep your health care. And then people don't think about it. Then all of a sudden they get cancellation notices. They have every right to be upset. And you can say, well, listen, you might have to pay double what you're paying for office visits, but you're going to get better coverage. Well, can you guarantee that? Why? Is my doctor any different than he was before? No. Is my eye doctor any different than they were before? No. I'm just paying more money for the services. So that's a bunch of baloney. Bunch of baloney. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Tom. Tom says, America Tonight, I know you've been all over this thing in Iran. Did you see that there was some back and forth with our Secretary of State and the Iranian Foreign Minister? And it looks like the nuclear talks are going to split in half. Gee, what a shocker, huh? No, he said that sarcastically. It's not a shocker because they're blaming each other for the problems with the talks that happened in Geneva last week. So John Kerry was in Abu Dhabi on Monday, and the Iranian foreign minister said that blaming Iran, because that's what he said, is only undermining confidence in the negotiations, credibility, which are set for November 20th, which means next week. So here we go again. Here's another one. This one comes to us from Paul listening in California. Must be listening on the web. Or if you go to americatonight.net, you can catch it that way, too, if you can't get the station in your local area. And he says, boy, oh, boy, Obamacare, Obamacare, and then some. One thing we do know is it's not good. I think very few people realize what they're getting with Obamacare. Listen, I would give the president all the credit in the world if it truly was affordable health care and just had to be tuned a little bit, you know, fine-tuned. But this is like a major overhaul. And the fact that we have to pay for these mistakes, because we're the taxpayers, it's our money going down the tube. So when people think and turn away from this, that they don't have anything at stake, they are sadly mistaken. They're sadly mistaken for a couple of different reasons. One, it's your health care. It's your premiums. It's your deductibles. For goodness sake, it's going to your doctor versus somebody else. It's a nightmare. What do you think, Kate? Well, yeah, you've been listening to me. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. It's not a nightmare for everyone, but it's not great if things are changing and then you're in another network and you can't have the same doctor. Imagine you have your same doctor your whole life. It's important because that doctor knows your charts, knows what's happening, can see, might be able to pinpoint something that happens a lot sooner than a brand new doctor would. There's something about the familiarity with the human body and a doctor, I think, that you can't put a price tag on. You can't. My whole life growing up, we had a doctor. He was awesome. He didn't have great bedside manner, but I liked him. And my whole family went to him for, like, ever. He was like Methuselah. I think he was 150 years old. Because my family was just not going to let this guy die. Dr. Anderson. And you knew what you got. He knew things that happened to you. He knew what to prescribe. That was it. Whatever you had to have done. And to go to somebody else, oh, that would have been like cheating. Are you kidding? It was very weird to go off to college. Then you have to go to a completely different system where you go off on your first job. Now it's kind of random. Ugh, remember the days of the HMOs getting the booklets and you have to pick it, go through everything? Oh, was that on my HMO? It was a giant, it was like a phone book full of people to call. They still give those out. They might be a little smaller, but they still give those out. All right, one more I think we're going to have time for here. This one is from Dennis, who says, I can't tell you how raw I feel right now listening to America Tonight. I agree with you that it's not a Democrat-Republican thing. It's a human thing. Who really doesn't want everyone in their neighborhood to have affordable health care? But what a masterful ruse they have pulled on us, Kate Delaney. And we all fell for it, at least on the Democratic side. It's hard to trust the Republicans' motives because some of them are just so anti-Obama, they'll pound them into the ground and say anything. But clearly, if you were coming from a different country and you looked at it, you would see it doesn't make any sense. Even finding a plan has become so difficult that I'm opting out of everything. I'll take the fine, please, for $95. Yeah, you know, I think there's going to be more people that take the fine, and if they, for example, are a vet, they can go to the Veterans Hospital if they have an emergency. Now, what it covers and all of that, I don't know. And with the cost of health care just rising again and again and again, it can't be good. Thanks for all of you who sent in your thoughts. You can always do that. Go to americatonight.net. Ivan Elan, who says JFK really wasn't that great of a president.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
My name is Frank Bates, and I got a confession to make. Just a few days ago, FEMA went directly to my supplier and tried to buy my entire stockpile of high-quality survival food. It sounds crazy, but I'll show you the exact letter they sent in a minute. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see undeniable video proof that the government is on the hunt for as much survival food as they can grab in 24 hours. Be warned, it's really disturbing because the fact is FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see why survival food is the number one item to hoard right now and why supplies are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Do it now because I don't know how long it will be online, so go to FEMAHatesThis.com while you can. That's FEMAHatesThis.com.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
The 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination is coming up, and of course, there's a zillion, it seems, television shows and new movies coming out. Just, there was something the other day where Rob Lowe was playing JFK on National Geographic Channel, and there's a movie called Parkland that came out, and then just a lot of conspiracy theories, what happened, what about his legacy, and what tends to happen is the legacy of JFK just gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. And finally, somebody has said something contrarian a little bit to what so many others will jump on the bandwagon and say. Ivan Eland joins us on this show quite often, terrific writer, a senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he just did a blog on Huffington Post. And let me just give you the title. On the 50th anniversary of JFK's assassination, let's examine his true legacy. Ivan, as always, thanks for coming on ATN.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so when you set about and you wrote this piece, and you talk about it throughout the piece, the fact that as it gets closer and closer, especially to big anniversaries, like this one's the 50th, you have massive coverage of what happened and all the whole emotion of it and whatnot. Do you think that is partly what blew up, if you will, the legacy of JFK because of how he died, the whole Camelot thing, and the massive coverage?
Well, I think, yes, he was a martyr, and he couldn't get his own legislative agenda through Congress, so LBJ used his martyrdom to pass some of his things like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but then, of course, LBJ added other things like the Voting Rights Act of 1965, the Great Society. But part of that was JFK's things. But JFK really, even though he had served in the Senate, he wasn't very good at getting his proposals through Congress. And, of course, Lyndon Johnson was probably the greatest legislative president in the history of the country. Now, I don't really agree personally with a lot of LBJ's programs, but you have to give him credit for being a much better legislative president than JFK.
When you walk through the six-floor museum, which I did just a week ago, because my husband had no interest of ever going there, and finally I said, well, maybe you want to go there, because we had passes, some kind of media passes, and we went there. And one of the things that they really emphasize is the Peace Corps, how he started the Peace Corps. And you say in your blog that the Peace Corps program really was to win back some of the lost ground, the lost public relations ground, in parts of the globe, because it was in the middle of that whole Cold War thing. Explain that.
Well, everything that JFK did was related to the Cold War. He was obsessed with anti-communism, and certainly communism is not a good thing, but he was the coldest of the Cold Warriors. I think he and Reagan were probably the coldest of the Cold Warriors. And he saw everything, even domestic policy, through the Cold War lenses. And so he was concerned that U.S. segregation and the riots that were happening, and also the repression of the civil rights marches, were blackening the image of the U.S. overseas in developing countries. And so he wanted to get some of that PR, luster back. So he created the Peace Corps to do that. And of course, the Peace Corps really has been more successful as a program for college students here than it has been in helping developing countries, because it's simply a very small program and that sort of thing. So it was designed to compete with the Soviets in the Third World during the Cold War. And also, the moonshot, JFK really didn't care too much about space exploration. What he was really interested in was competing with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union had been the first in space with Yuri Gagarin, which really shocked the U.S. and the rest of the world in 1957 with the Sputnik launch. And so JFK wanted to catch up and surpass the Soviets, which, of course, the U.S. did with its superior technology. But it wasn't really the love of space exploration that JFK did. It was merely to compete with the Soviet Union.
Well, and that goes along with your theory of that he was the coldest of the Cold Warriors. The Cuban Missile Crisis always comes up in anything related to JFK's term while he was president, and he's hailed as a hero. He solved the crisis, averted what could have been a disaster of epic proportions, a nuclear disaster, and pushed the Russians off. But you say that's not really a true representation.
Well, he's given credit for standing up to his own generals. They wanted to invade Cuba, and of course, at the time, nobody knew it, but the Soviets had already put tactical nuclear weapons in addition to the medium-range weapons. So if they would have invaded, Soviets would have used tactical nuclear weapons, and of course, we could have had we were much closer to nuclear war than we realized even at the time. And of course, everyone was quaking in their boots because everybody knew we were very close to nuclear war. But he actually put a blockade around Cuba, and that's technically an act of war. So the Soviet Union could have also retaliated for that. Now, the primary reason that the Soviet Union put those missiles in there was because, and this is never linked in the U.S. history books, it was the attempt by JFK to have Cuban exiles invade Cuba in 1961 and overthrow the Castro regime. That failed miserably, but of course the Soviets really wanted to prevent the United States from continuing to try to oust Castro, which there were, unbelievably, after that total debacle, Kennedy continued to plan to either assassinate Castro or somehow take him out. And of course, planning other invasion plans. The Soviet Union found out about those and put in these nuclear missiles. Well, the U.S. had already put nuclear missiles in the Soviets' neighborhood in Turkey and Italy. So it came down to a trade in the end. But even that, the popular version is that JFK made Khrushchev back down, but if you looked at what was traded, you would say that the Soviets probably got the better end of the deal. But the real problem was the crisis shouldn't have occurred in the first place. And Kennedy even admitted this privately, because those missiles in Cuba really didn't change the strategic balance. The U.S. had many more nuclear weapons and warheads that, and launchers at the time than the Soviet Union. And what really so McNamara, who is the Secretary of Defense for JFK and JFK, they admitted it didn't change the strategic balance. And JFK even said privately, if I hadn't made the speech saying that, boy, if they are putting missiles in there, we're really going to have to take some action. So he sort of admitted that he had been rash by publicly calling the Soviet missiles. He could have either done nothing or handled it diplomatically behind the scenes instead of creating this nuclear standoff where he had to put a blockade around Cuba. And, you know, the Soviets were forced to either blink or, you know, go to nuclear war. And that was not a good choice for anybody.
Yeah. One of the things you also say is you talk about JFK in Vietnam, and that's not talked about that much because it's not really heaped on him. And you say pointedly in your piece, JFK lost the war before his successor, LBJ, ever escalated it by approving the ouster of the South Vietnamese president, which left a vacuum there, a political leadership vacuum, your words there. How come that's never talked about? We never really hear much about that.
Well, what we do hear is from the Kennedy acolytes and apologists saying, well, he approved 1,000 advisors being pulled out of Vietnam. Yes, he did, but that doesn't necessarily mean much. He had increased the number of advisors from 900 during Eisenhower to 16,000, which is really a sizable military force. He called them advisors, but really he was the first one to escalate. But, of course, Johnson really escalated in 1964, but before that, in 1963, what you're referring to is Kennedy approved a coup against the South Vietnamese leader. Well, that left a leadership vacuum in Vietnam, and in counterinsurgency warfare, I just wrote a book on counterinsurgency warfare, in counterinsurgency warfare, the most important thing is political, not military, unlike regular wars. And political leadership is very important. So this leadership vacuum, which they never really successfully filled, they had military generals after that. It had no public legitimacy at all in South Vietnam. Really, many experts think lost the war even before the U.S. got involved in 1965 in a huge way, with LBJ taking the unfortunate step of escalating. So the war was lost before it was escalated, is what it amounts to. And Kennedy really probably lost the war. And he also, of course, by increasing those advisors, whether he was going to pull them out or not, he died, and then LBJ took it from there. We had already had a big, the problem is when you get involved in these quagmires, as we saw in Afghanistan with Obama, when you have a lot of troops on the ground, you develop a stake in the action, and therefore if things aren't going well, the emphasis is to put, and the pressure grows to put more troops in there. And that's of course what happened in Vietnam, and what happened in Afghanistan recently, and we haven't won either one of those wars.
Yeah. Ivan Eland, thanks so much. Check out his postings on Huffington Post under politics. Thanks, Ivan. We appreciate the time.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Welcome back to Secrets to Saving. Jen, you're saving $300 a month. What's your secret?
Sam, I called the National Mortgage Connection. They connected me with a great lender who refinanced my home loan into a much lower rate. Plus, they didn't charge me any closing costs. No escrow fees, no origination fee, and no credit report fee.
Let's go to Jeff now.
I called National Mortgage Connection, too. I also refinanced into a lower rate, and now I'm saving around $3,000 a year. And they refinanced me even though I was underwater on my mortgage.
It's no secret that a lower interest rate means a lower payment, which means you save money. And saving is sexy. With a record low rates, you've got to call NMC now. They're a referral service that connects homeowners with a pre-screened lender offering no closing cost loans. And you can refi even if you're underwater. Call 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055.
See what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with some.
Ah, we're making the final turn of this hour of America Tonight. So how about that? Ivan Eland with a much different perspective, I think, than a lot of people have on JFK. And we are bombarded in a lot of different directions with the Kennedys, but especially the president himself at the assassination, leading up to the assassination. There are so many books, there are so many conspiracy theories out there. And even on the administration, what happened during the administration itself, too. But it really, it's the first time in a long time with anybody that I've ever talked about where he's just flat out said he just didn't believe he was a good president. And he was right factually on a couple of different things in talking about civil rights. The one thing that Kennedy was concerned about that preserving that Southern conservative Democrat vote at the time, and was very careful how he stepped around the issue, you know, not wanting to be at the forefront of that, which was exactly where LBJ wanted to be. So he's right. That was a tale of two very, very different, what turned out to be two very different administrations. One, of course, happens because Kennedy's assassinated, but that was the thing that Johnson pushed on so heavily, pushing through the civil rights, and really he bore the brunt of it. And the Vietnam issue too, which really was in the lap of JFK, didn't necessarily I won't say count, but didn't necessarily become the blight so much on his record, it shifted to LBJ. But I think that's because of the assassination. It was sad. They were the Camelot couple, the nation embracing certain aspects of that whole White House, the celebrity aspects, the fantasy aspects, I guess, of it. And, of course, cut down in his prime and maybe on the verge of winning two terms. It certainly looked that way to any of the pundits on the day, that as long as he was able to get Texas, he had a great chance to win a back-to-back terms. But, of course, we know at the end of that, that didn't happen. And the actual 50th day will be a huge day, I think, of TV, newspapers, everywhere else. And our satellite facility being in Dallas, it's been just wall-to-wall craziness of people coming in from all over the country to descend on the sixth-floor museum and the grassy knoll. And there, the other day I was down in, by the grassy knoll, and there was somebody in the middle of the street taking a picture on the X, because they've got an X marking the spot where the motorcade went and where he was actually hit. And I thought this guy was going to get hit in the middle of the street. Cars were just barely missing him because he wanted to get a photo right on that spot, which was crazy. And leading up to it, I think it'll be even crazier for sure. I wanted to hit some odds and ends since we've been talking about the Philippines a lot, and obviously Obamacare, major themes. You know, what does it do to the president's legacy, Obama's legacy? He keeps dropping like a rock in the polls. They seem to be confused. They're not on message at the White House. Everybody agrees, at least on this show, everybody seems to agree on that. So let's move to some odds and ends, some other things that are actually happening that people are talking about, too, as well. You know, some folks in the Northeast area take Amtrak every day to work. Some people in the West jump on Amtrak to go and visit relatives and whatnot. They try to romanticize the whole idea of train travel and get people away from planes. That was one of the strategies of Amtrak to say, you know, this is an alternative, this is a way to go and see the USA. So they're saying that New Mexico, Colorado, and Kansas and some other places, they're talking about they're potentially losing Amtrak if they don't reach an agreement for 2016, because the Southwest route through those states, it hasn't been maintained. It has to be maintained to a certain level, and they have to upgrade a ton of track there. They say more than 600 miles of track in the states, and Burlington Northern Santa Fe owns the line, but they only use a little bit of it for the freight trains. So Northeastern New Mexico, they're asking their lawmakers to consider a cost-sharing arrangement in the other states to spend money annually to keep an upgrade on it so that Southwest Chief can stay on its current route. Otherwise, for the people who want to take the train from New Mexico to Colorado, forget about it. That's not going to happen. And with the freight trains, obviously, that's big bucks. And if they're not being able to, there's no way to offend the costs of the maintenance, then that would shut down, which seems unbelievable, I think, to the people in the Southwest area, because that's been there forever. Remember, that was that whole expansion into the West. So that would be huge. This is the time of year when the people in Hollywood are gearing up for big box office punch. We've already actually seen that through the summer. And we just had another Disney movie come out, Thor: The Dark World, which was big at the box office, number one, over $85 million. This goes along with what they have, Iron Man 3, Oz the Great and Powerful, Monsters University. So it's probably been an incredible year for Disney and any of the Pixar brands, because that has to do with, for the most part, Marvel. The comics, taking the comics and putting them on film and creating characters was a genius idea. I mean, to really push that, because it's it certainly has netted that studio a ton of money. I think I was just reading this, was why I brought it up. In July, Disney was the first studio to reach $1 billion domestic box office for the year, and it's the eighth consecutive year they've done it. In August, they hit $2 billion for the fourth year in a row. And they say in early November, they broke the international box office record, $2.3 billion. And you have to go back a couple of years to see when that was set. So Thor, with the almost $86 million coming in, has been another boost to the coffers for Disney. See, there's a lesson in this whole business thing. You know, every once in a while we do It's Your Business here in America Tonight. In fact, we just did one the other day. There's a lesson to be learned in this. You see the companies like Blockbuster who don't adapt with how quickly technology is changing and tastes are changing in a world where 8 seconds is our attention span. And the companies that adapt and figure out how to reach out to the millennials, the younger generation, whatever, then they're the ones that stay in business. And in the business of movie making, they were smart to go to the comics, I think, because they saw the success of some previous series, like the Spider-Man series, and certainly what happened to Batman was big, and they were so they were smart to try to capitalize on that. All right, going to end on this note. You know, I like the whole space thing, and NASA's not mothballed, but once the shuttle ended, it kind of cut off some of the power of NASA. But don't forget about the Curiosity. The NASA Curiosity rover bounced back. See, anyone can bounce back from a glitch. Bounced back from a glitch that put the robot into what they call safe mode for 3 days over the weekend. Did you know that was even going on? So it's kind of car-sized, the Curiosity. They had to do that because they got an impulse from the software on the update that there were problems. And that, and this is so cool. That's how they're able to do this. They were able to figure out what the problems was with the Curiosity. They mess around with it, right? The engineers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, they come up with what they have to do. And then, boom, it's ready to roll again. They turn it back on, and there it goes. And Curiosity has been heading toward the towering Mount Sharp in early July and has covered about one-third of the 5.3-mile-long trek. Can't wait till it reaches the top. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains 3 groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.